Okay, we're on.
All right, so 7:05 will call the Thursday, June 25th, 2015 regular meeting of the North Bend Planning Commission to order. And our first slate on the agenda, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, what I thought we could do is do intros. Maybe everybody tells us maybe a little bit about who you are and why you joined the Planning Commission. But and not to put you on the spot, Scott, but you might, if you don't mind starting. We're super happy to have you and want to welcome you. And anyway, so you want to start with a little bit about you?
It's your first test.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Scott Heller. I've been living in North Bend about 2.5 years, and interested. I like the town, and I like small towns. I'm from a small town, and I think that this is a good opportunity to kind of be involved in the development of the town. You know, I don't know all about what goes on and what's done, but I'm sure we'll learn that over this next 4 years.
We don't have a clue either.
I'm sure it takes at least 6 months or a year to figure out. But I work at Puget Sound Energy in Bellevue. I'm a terrestrial scientist. I guess one of the things that I talked about during the interview is just we have a process with our hydro license, the Puget Sound Energy's hydro license, and there's stakeholders. There's the federal group, the state, and tribe, and nonprofits, and so for decisions we have kind of a process of 2-week decision period, and then a quorum, which is Fed, State, Tribe, and the PSC, and then it's basically consensus through lack of objection. As long as you don't, it's basically like no thumbs down. You can have a thumbs sideways. and we have the license, and we have these plans and procedures documents. So I think some of that, it won't take me quite as long to get up to speed in some of those things, because I did that at my job quite a bit and struggled for a while. It's kind of a process thing as well. So I thought that might help, and I thought that I'd learn a lot more about the town and what's going on, what's upcoming, and maybe some of these areas, and see all these parks and the wall, and so just kind of be involved in the short and long term growth of North Bend.
Cool. Welcome.
Okay.
I like the town. How long have you lived here?
2.5 years.
What neighborhood do you live in?
And I'm just down the road from you.
Oh.
Yeah, we've met before.
As far as it's familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, very rarely, because you're down on the on the water. But yeah, in Southeast Tanner Road, the Middle Fork.
Right. Yeah. Your wife works for
WFW.
Yeah, that's right.
And what's her name?
Krista.
Krista.
She's a fisheries biologist.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very powerful family on our street, I tell
you. Yeah.
The guy deals with fur, and the guy deals with fish.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Well, do you want to, I guess you guys already know each other?
Or? Yeah, I'm quite embarrassed by the fact that I just forgot Scott was my neighbor, but been on the street for 6 years, but worked in the valley for over 25 years as a warehouser and a land use manager. But currently, that's all behind me. I retired back in 1996. I'm now working for the community in various projects, working at the Planning Commission, working for King County Rural Forest Commission. And I like to do the Conservation District. And I work with Rotary.
Stay for this.
So that keeps me really busy. But my passion right now is Planning Commission and KCD.
KCD.
King Conservation District.
We go to Monroe, thanks.
See ya?
Really? I need to find out when that happens.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's called Bear Root, so it's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Yep.
That means you can't kill it.
It's less of a loss.
See than what I do about it.
It's cheaper. It's a cheaper.
Yeah.
Following interests and passions, which is what I guess retirement should be about, right?
Yeah. But I find myself in the situations that I can't just pick up and go. You know, that's what you really, that's ideal, I think, where you just decide where you're going to leave for a month. Kind of committed. Or should be committed. Please.
You're saving yourself for last.
Well, I like to listen.
So I'm from a family that's been in the valley since the mid-40s. I am actually a product of a military dad, though, so I grew up all over the place. Came back here about 22 years ago now, and I've been living in North Bend. I'm over in the Silver Creek area. Actually living in the home that my grandfather built before there was a Silver Creek. Development. They bought the land direct from E.J. Roberts. It gave them a little bit of seed money to do the rest of the development down the road. And I was drawn to this because I was raised with an idea that it's our responsibility to serve. And I believe that I had something to add at this particular point in time, primarily because I do have experience with flood insurance. And there are some challenges related to that. Due to recent reform that I think are becoming more of an issue. And we'll be seeing that come up again here in 2017 when they have to reauthorize the National Flood Program again. And we'll probably have another set of things that cities and municipalities have to deal with at that particular point in time. So I thought I would at least be able to bring that knowledge, as well as have something to do with keeping the city growing in a way that was... that fit the town that we knew. That growth has to happen, but doing it in a way that makes sense and that preserves that small town feeling that brought so many people here. And I guess that's it. Me.
Cool. I like when new folks come because I get to remember what they said 3 years ago.
I've refined it a little bit. And oh, it was actually only a year ago.
I forget little pieces and parts. Yeah. Joe Lucky. I've been here in the Valley since I came out to help on a project on the other side of the freeway called Uplands neighborhood. That had been recently logged by, I'm sure, one of his cadre.
Could be the state.
I know. Yeah, I'm just kidding. But so that was something like 20 years ago. And I have always had an interest. I have a real estate brokerage, so I'm always interested in what's going to happen next. And started off with the Parks Commission here in town. And I thought, maybe planning would be more fun, more interesting. So I've been here since then.
You're having a blast.
Good time. Say again?
And you're having a blast.
I am. That's right. Yep. And with the venture that's just kind of opened up next door with our meetings,
yeah.
It's just like, wow. Oh, this
it's
is perfect.
Like, yeah, roll out and roll over them.
So, welcome again.
Okay.
Yeah. You're next.
Howard.
Yeah.
What is your name?
Scott Hiller.
Scott. Okay. My name's Curtis Von Trapp. There we go. I guess we're both hiding here.
Yeah, I guess we need to go both sides.
Too cheap to print on both sides.
Right. What's the I don't know.
We had to get here years past. I joined last August, I guess. One of the questions we were answering, our motivation. I've been in the Valley almost 13 years, and I've always known I've wanted to get back and be a part of something. I saw this posted last summer, and I thought, wow, what an awesome opportunity. Something I'm interested in and have absolutely no background in. So it's been a steep learning curve as I try to just really understand all of this and what it looks like and the implications of it, not having a background in it. And I've quite enjoyed the dynamics of the discussion and the decisions that we made, the changes that we've been able to be a part of.
Great. Well, I know I was in the interview with Ken, but so I'll just give you a little bit of background on me too, which I don't know if many of you might not know either. But so I've worked in the Snoqualmie Valley for almost now 16 years. No, yeah, 16 or 17. I started in 1998 on Snoqualmie Ridge. I worked for the city of Snoqualmie. And I predominantly worked on the city planning for the ridge. And from prior to that, I actually worked for the town of La Conner and Lake Stevens. So came from those two towns, went to Snoqualmie, and then about almost 9 years ago, started here as the director of the community development department. And it's been an interesting 8 years in the realm of what, you know, North Bend was, North Bend missed the kind of the rush of development that everybody else experienced in 2000s, which could actually be somewhat of a saving grace to us because, you know, it was going so fast at that time that there was lots of unplanned development kind of happening. And so now North Bend is definitely kind of the hotbed. I mean, in the development world, people, you know, you hear when I say I'm from North Bend, I mean, all the builders, everybody's looking at this area because I think land's still affordable and there's land available. You know, there's not even, we're still processing subdivisions and in every other east side city, that doesn't even exist really. Sammamish has a few, but I mean, so that's a challenge for North Bend as we try to keep our small town having that character that we like. So anyway, that's a little bit of history on my background. So with that, is that this thing?
No, it's mine. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I turned it down because it was beeping and now it's rattling.
So if we
want to
turn it back over, we'll move on to item 3, which is approval of the minutes. May 28, 2015. Are there any changes?
I'm sure everyone will speak. The doctor is presented. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And the next point on the agenda would be public comment. Seeing no members of the public present, we'll move on to item 5. Which is the Economic Development Discussion and Deliberation.
Okay. So I just first wanted to say great job and good work on the land use chapter. I wasn't able to come to the last meeting where you guys ultimately made a recommendation, but it's going to now, that's a big chapter and a lot of information. And so the city council is going to start taking that chapter up, and they're going to start with a work study next Tuesday. You're welcome to come to that meeting. And then from there, I'll keep you posted as to where they go, whether they take that directly onto the full council at a council meeting in the evening for consideration, or if they continue to have another workshop on it. But there's definitely, you know, enough zoning changes that they wanted to have staff walk them through as a group the chapter. And so
Is that before their city council meeting, or is it?
It's a work study that will be in this room at 7 o'clock. Yeah. So tonight, I also, jumping back, I did want to also mention, you know, we have had all these subdivisions and different development applications come through the city. And we actually have in the pipeline basically 700 new residential lots that are being processed and under the entitlement process. And I don't know if you guys are aware of this sometimes when you're going through the comp plan, it's such a big document, and it's such a document that has such a long-range aspect to it that sometimes you don't really have a chance to perceive the impact of it. But recently we've had a number of subdivisions that one subdivision that the developer was arguing to or presenting an argument to just have sidewalks on one side. And when the hearing examiner cited on, you know, a couple different aspects of, you know, our perspective versus theirs, he went back to the comp plan and cited a lot of sections in the comp plan that were in our land use chapter about mobility, connectivity, pedestrian linkages. And so ultimately he basically ruled in favor of the city based on our comp plan policies and such. So that's kind of the impact that you guys make when you're doing these things. You don't get to see the winds as they come through in small little chunks, but those every single one of those subdivisions is better based on those policies when there's a disagreement or a debate with the developer. So I did just want to mention that because, you know, that's all your work. So so thanks for that.
Welcome.
Yeah, that was helpful. So the economic development chapter or element is a little bit different than the ones you've had before, partly because we have an economic development commission. So so what I wanted to kind of give you a little briefing on is the history of where and how we got to the document you have in front of you, and then where we're going to go from here. But the economic development element was really about, and I know you probably already read this in the document, but in 2007 we created a branding and marketing team, which included some pretty high-level people with a lot of professional experience, but, you know, in marketing and branding, that decided to volunteer and participate. And that effort actually created a new North Bend logo, our tagline, but more so what it was is it was a brand that was supposed to act kind of in concert with our vision statement, you know, a short something that could be marketed. So more of a marketing tool than our vision statement, but something that played along those lines. So the way this chapter was written was kind of to take the work from the past and then describe how we went through the branding effort with volunteers, so kind of a grassroots approach. The EDC has played a big part in it. One of the members, Martin Vulcan, was provided a lot of contribution in the realm of how to connect the brand and the vision statement to our community growth. And none of them could be here tonight, but basically the concept was everything we do, whether it's building a street or building a park or reviewing a land use application for a subdivision, it's got to meet all our goals and policies and our regulations, but all of those need to reflect what it is we want to be. What is our brand? And so the brand that this group, ultimately came down on, you saw in here. But what was interesting is they really went out to the community to ask, you know, what are your assets that you really appreciate about this town? And it was clear that whether you're a tourist or a resident, it's really the natural beauty and the small town character. You know, it's the recreation that we have, the hiking, the biking, you know, the walking, just the views and vistas that we have. And then that always came back to the small town character. So the goal of this chapter is really basically to establish goals and policies that can guide decision makers in the future about economic development decisions that strengthen that brand and strengthen that small town character while still recognizing that growth is going to happen. So, for example, if, you know, one thing that that you guys participated in, not everybody, because not everybody was here at the time, was we created a code section that out of Truck Town, there was lots of interest in warehousing. It's right on I-90 corridor, the perfect location for the world of warehousing. But that's not what the community has envisioned as the best use of our job-producing land. So we created an overlay there that prohibits warehousing. And then we go on to define what that is and what have you. And as a result, we actually have gotten a lot of interest on warehousing. We keep letting them know it's not an allowed use. And, you know, and so that's kind of the gist of this is, you know, to create goals and policies that really drive our decision-making on how we ultimately build out our economic areas, our economic opportunities. And so the EDC felt it was really important to really talk about that brand. Because if we want to continue this feeling that we have, we want to make sure, you know, if another Nintendo goes out there, which, you know, it reflects our look and feel versus maybe a cold storage facility, you know, where it's just warehouse. So that was kind of the background of how we got to where we are. Guy Lawrence is on our EDC, and he's the marketing director for the Summit at Snoqualmie. And one of his suggestions that the EDC really felt strongly about was to keep it simple and keep it to 5 goals. And from those 5 goals, create our policies. And I like that because it really, like, dials you in on, I mean, as we all know, when it's New Year's resolution time and you have 10 goals for yourself, if you're lucky to accomplish one, right? And so that was their kind of philosophy is let's create 5 solid goals. And then from those goals, create our policies, which in the world of city planning, what your policies do is your policies are act as like action items for developing the code. So if you had a policy that said X, it's almost like a directive to, if you need to implement that policy, if you need to create code language or what have you, that's how that comes about. So anyway, that's the history of the chapter, and it's been a juggling act to try to get the EDC and you guys kind of working and not get too lagged behind. So if there's basic typos, just like extra periods, grammar, or something like that, let me know, just because we were trying to get it out the door. But, you know, don't feel like you have to go through it line by line or anything like that. Yeah.
Highlight areas you know that need to be filled, updated, corrected, etc.
Yeah, I'm waiting on finance to give me some numbers.
And the document that we're reading actually is how old?
The document that you have is a rewrite of the old chapter. It's totally new, so we're just considering this a new chapter. And if you're interested in looking at what was previously in, there was no reason to try to redline it because it's a total yeah.
Well, when you say it's a new chapter.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because this looks a lot like what I remember doing.
Yeah, no, it's
6 years ago.
Yeah, it's we have right. Chapter 9 is an element in our current comp plan, and I did leave a lot of it there, just reorged it. And,
yeah. It just seemed like, well, Rainer, okay, we already agreed on this once.
Yeah.
That was
okay.
My input. That was my, okay, we're good, let's go.
Okay, yeah,
I actually came in tonight thinking, okay, I'm going to vote we pass is accepted.
Oh.
Because I thought it's been working. And
perfect.
I thought there was some shortcomings.
That's so fast.
Yeah.
But then I knew Dick was going to say something, so I was prepared for that.
Just so I guess I understand the scope a little more clearly. You said this kind of provides guidelines and reference for decision makers. Now, would that include people other than the decision makers? Are those people other than your office?
Yeah, like in a hearing examiner's council.
Okay.
Or a hearing examiner, like when there's a subdivision or. Let's say, because in economic development, it would probably be more commercial, like a hotel. If there was a policy that said, any new hotel that's built on the shoreline shall have direct access to the shoreline to provide public views and vistas of the river. If it's there, the hearing examiner uses that to support our conditions of approval. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's true for the entire document.
Everything, yeah.
The whole planning concept, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's really what you do it for, is to tell people in advance.
This is what we're expecting.
What you're signing up for when you buy this parcel.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, we use it to help ourselves in defense.
Right.
For trying to make sure we keep it that way.
Mm-hmm. Right. In the business world, the comp plan is your business plan, basically. It tells you, you know, every part of what's going to happen to create the viability of the city or the business.
Okay.
Well, are we going to do a page by page, or are we just
well, I thought whatever you guys think is easiest for you.
One big question I have about uh-huh. this is that the city takes credit for the well-planned road that we have. Does the city take fault or accept the fault for the lack of growth in the business sector and in the industrial sector? Mm-hmm. If they take it, if they take the blame, use the word blame, but not the blame, but if they take credit for the lack of growth, what are you doing with these plans to encourage growth to occur as envisioned by the plan?
Right, that's a good question. The challenges we have out at Trucktown, which is, let's just say, that's where we have the most amount of commercial property that is vacant. There's a number of things that the people that are trying to market and sell those are having troubles with. One is there's a concern that some businesses, some maybe ones that are choosing Snoqualmie Ridge, don't necessarily want to be, you know, the truck stop as it is right now is a challenge. We need that truck stop needs to be cleaned up, and so that's one of the issues that's been expressed. In the realm of there has been a recent investment. A manufacturing company purchased a lot out there and is going to build quite a big manufacturing facility, 150,000 square foot manufacturing facility. So there is now movement. Genie's looking and interested to expand their facility here. So I don't know if it's necessarily anything that I could say. I mean, up until 2009, it was because there was no sewer.
But is the city on the street, proactively marketing the opportunities there in this town to help bring jobs to the community?
Yeah, I think I would say yes.
That's my question.
Yeah, yes, we are. That being said, where we have the biggest bang for our buck in the realm of time and energy is helping those that either own the parcels or are marketing the parcels. They come to us all the time with opportunities, ideas, and where we feel there's something that's very viable, something that fits what we're looking for, being able to quickly react and help those developments through the process, or if the code doesn't fit, address that and decide whether a code amendment's necessary or not. And I think that's one thing our city's been able to do real well, is be able to be reactive quickly when... Now, as we don't do active business recruitment, partly because we feel that businesses are more forthright speaking privately with the broker or what have you, they're usually pretty far. They're usually pretty committed before they're, you know, ready to speak to the city. And it's usually because they want some concessions on our fees and things like that. And that's where we also have been able to, you know, talk about impact fees, traffic impact fees, or you know, alternative ways if somebody builds the infrastructure versus pay for the fee and things like that.
So what I see happening, Jenna, is that we're having no trouble building residential communities.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be full steam ahead.
Right.
But that's a job flat. They're all moving to Issaquah to work.
Yeah.
And we're going to show up with 1,000 or 1,200 jobs with no new owners. You know, they're going to be, we expect to see the reverse and have folks coming from Issaquah to work in North Bend. I don't think so. It seems like we're not preparing the workforce base commensurate with our establishment of residential inventory.
Well, sorry, my dogs.
And as encouraging as we are for home developments, I don't sense that is going on in the industrial and business development side of the city's goals and objectives.
Oh, I would totally disagree. The residential side is driving it.
I don't see it.
Yeah, I know, but the residential side is driving itself. We aren't doing anything to attract builders. The what attracted builders was when the sewer went out to Trucktown. That gave everybody the opportunity to develop. And with that came people who decided to sell that property and move on, retire, what have you.
So communities,
mm-hmm.
knowing that they have residential properties in the queue, but no industry to satisfy the job needs from those new residents, it seems to me the city should have a plan to market that opportunity as well as they're doing with the residential side. I don't see it happening, and I don't see it happening in this particular plan. What I see are vision statements, but I don't see anything here that benchmarks anything that says where you're going to be in 5 years, where you want to be in 2 years with economic growth. I just see visions.
Okay, well, that's what you're here to help put together.
I would encourage more language to be in the statement that talks about actively seeking economic growth.
Okay.
Industrial and business. Where that happens, that's up to the commission and you. I'm just saying, I feel like this is an interesting document, but it's not driving it.
So let's go to goal 5 on page. Do you guys have page number? There's no page numbers. Sorry about that. So.
It says encourage retention and recruitment.
Yeah, encourage retention and recruitment of living wage jobs. Okay, that's our goal. That are aligned with North Bend's vision and brand. So then we go to goal 5. And that's where I think you would want to, the goals and policies under goal 5 is where you'd want to dial in on what that means. So if you read through those policies and you feel like that those do not resonate perfectly, then we add, like, promote commercial development at I-90 exit 31, which provides services to local residents and captures transient users.
If we are doing these things, and let's just think about how we are doing these things, I think it'd be important for the city to report back to the city how you've done, a report card for the year, how you've done on these promoting tourism related, you know, what have you done related to this precise goal? What has the city done? And what has occurred coming towards you in this regard? So there's a feeling of movement
mm-hmm.
rather than simply static policies.
Well, that is different than, so you're asking me to we have a huge booklet of our accomplishments and measurements of what we've done this year. And that can be shared, but in this document, are you wanting something to?
I want to know that the city is actively pursuing it. I looked at that empty Tanner Mill now for 20 years. I don't see anything going on. And I just wonder if the city holds itself responsible for that, or is there something that is something that I'm missing.
Well, there's all kinds of, when you say the city holds themselves responsible, until 2009 there couldn't be any redevelopment of that because there was no sewer. So 6 years later, there is a lot of interest. We've had interest in that parcel. I'm trying to remember what the recent one is. Tanner Electric bought a portion of it, I think. But when you say, what is the city doing, and is the city taking responsibility for somebody's land being vacant? We definitely participate in all the regional recruitment, business recruitment, Economic Development Commission, where we communicate all the time with, hey, there's a business looking for these parameters. They need 65-foot height limitation. They need X, Y, and Z. And we either go after it or not. So we are doing a lot of things. Why that parcel hasn't developed, sometimes it's soil contamination, and nobody will touch it. We have a number of those situations. Sometimes it's the developer or the property owner, their terms are just not
workable.
Yeah, like over here. So we are actually, what I would say, when it comes to living wage jobs, okay, the one thing that I think, and maybe I look to the positive all the time, but I actually look at people say, downtown looks the same as it did 20, 30, 40 years ago. And I think to myself, the vacancy rates in downtown are the lowest we have in the city. The only vacant buildings that are constantly vacant are out of choice. The Glaziers just do not rent lease. We've gotten Bartels to locate in downtown and not at the freeway. That is a huge step for getting people to continue to look at downtown as kind of the hub of downtown. The Mountain View Center out at Safeway has high rent. It also has the far end down by where the hotel. Once the hotel goes in, you watch; those are all fill up. So I'm not. It doesn't look like I'm answering your question correctly.
I think I'm asking the wrong question. I think they're too darn accusatory. I'm simply trying to say that we have a large area zoned for industrial.
Yeah.
EP1, EP2, and if there's contaminated soils on the Tampa site, make them clean it up. Sign them for it. Don't stand for having contaminated soils inside the city limits. Don't stand for it. They can't have contaminated soils within the city limits. Require them to clean it up so it becomes marketable. Can't you do that?
Well, we might be getting a tad off topic, but I can tell you this. There are a lot of laws that go into play in regard to how you approach a contaminated and what kind of contamination. And when does it trigger cleanup? And cleanup usually is triggered at the development stage. And until that point, when I said that there might be contaminated soil, the city doesn't know the contamination of soils unless there's a development and require the soils testing. But when you're saying that to me, I have to be honest with you, it's coming across a little bit like
frustration.
Yeah, and I think what would be more helpful, if you don't feel enough is happening, it needs to go in here and tell us what you want to happen to get the product on the ground that you want to see. And then, because that is what this document will do, is it directs the city. Because, I'm just one person in the city. These questions.
You're a very prominent person. Jenna, but I'm just saying that this is a discussion with the Planning Commission and the and the director of the planning department. I'm just saying that working with Weyerhaeuser, I know that Mill Psych turns close in the dark at night, and everybody else does. It's the fact that that stone wall we took into the city limits is nuts. They haven't done anything to require now. Let's say that property be cleaned up. Back.
That's not true. See, that's what, that's.
It's been cleaned up, but it's still the pond is still a problem.
No.
And I know it.
Okay, I wasn't debating with. What I'm saying is they are doing, making efforts to clean it up, but it's based on the development and the time that that is triggered. So.
But I'm saying if you know that the Tanner site is not being.
I don't know any. I don't know that. I don't. I'm figuring that because of the mill.
Perceptions of contamination. I have a sort of. Is a certificate on file saying it's been examined, it's been cleaned, and it's stopped that rumor since the property been looked at. That's all I'm saying. Because in my mind, the downtown core is going to grow when we get jobs out here. People making living wage jobs in town are going to stay in town to spend the money, and that's going to help the downtown core develop to get industrial waste jobs back in the industrial areas. That's what I'm saying. That's when I read this, I'm saying to myself, this is not, there's a third ball that hasn't dropped here. We're not showing the city is showing a very positive side in terms of welcome growth. But I don't feel that we're doing enough in this to actually, when somebody takes it and some city in Carolina wants to read and say, well, now are they going to accept my business? Do I know this for a fact? I mean, is this going to actually draw me out here? So what incentives are we offering? Shouldn't we itemize those? We talk about incentives, but what incentives?
You know, something I read in here, and I think we just kind of steer it back towards being more constructive in accomplishing our task. You know, let's formulate some things to possibly include here. But one thing that I read, and I'm hearing from Jenna, is, you know, it sounds like we're having interest, but if those aren't, if that's the kind of industry that's going to come in here, suck everything out of us without giving anything back, then that's not the, you know, for among other things, then that's not the kind of industry that we want. You know, I read a workable wage, which is going to provide, you know, people in the community with money, as opposed to a lot of the larger industries that are looking for cheap land, huge concessions, tax concessions, or, you know, a wide variety, and then they're going to come in here and have a small number of workers and create a whole lot of noise or produce a whole lot of waste and really not give back to the community. I'm going to argue I don't want those here either, and, you know, and that's one of the reasons I joined this commission. At the same time, I kind of sit here with a similar, and I'm finding ignorant perspective on, you know, business development or more attraction and recruitment, and really what that takes and what role, like who has those roles and what does it take? Because I mean, yeah, I'm out by Tanner all the time. I like to run out there, and it looks to me like. Wow, you know, what a perfect plot. It's already cleared, it's, you know, easy access, but, you know, what are the factors getting in there? And I don't know if, it doesn't seem that you guys are the ones to blame. It's, let's put it here, like, what do we think is going to be, you know, a good change to the language or addition to the language, you know, reorchestration of the goals, in order to empower us to attract them within the guidelines that we already have, you know, promoting and ensuring the rural character of the valley without compromising that.
So, sorry.
Well, I was going to say, when I was reading through this, I took it more as, when we're dealing with this, we don't, it's kind of like, what will the market bear on our housing side, and who's coming in and making offers? If we make this too precise, we may lose an opportunity. So I took this more of laying out a framework that sets certain we're not going to do this, but this is what our goal is, without locking the city into a document that's going to be around for 6 or 7 years, unless we mess with it, so that they can shift or what the market is bringing us without having something that says we want X in this location. So I actually took the generic approach, which you had adopted a reaction to, as being the way to frame this so that we don't end up boxed in and unable to react.
So,
Jim mentioned this has been around for 6 years. I know it has too. I've seen this before. I'm asking the question, has this been working?
Well, I'm going to follow up because I'll interrupt your train here. The thought came to me as we were just talking, and from what you first said, I think of, the outside the box would be New York's doing it on national or worldwide media. They're saying, hey, come to New York, and for the first 5 years, you'll pay no taxes. That's proactive. And the reality of here is that for the last, I'd say, 15-plus years, we've just been trying to get our head above water. The idea of going out recruiting a business to come here, that's like a novel idea based on where we come from. But I think it's maybe there's a role that's being talked about that we just don't have. So
well,
we've got the land. We're dialing that around. We've got the land to create for the business to come in.
Right, and I guess what I want to come back to is when you say, are we doing it? The answer is yes. I mean, your Economic Development Commission went and met with Outdoor Research because Dan Nordstrom owns it, and Dan Nordstrom's good friends with Martin. So there was this, hey, maybe we could get Outdoor Research to relocate their business here, okay? They came to us and said, now here's our problem. Our average employee is 18 to 35, and they need to live within X distance, and their income is this, so they need to have apartments or housing of that cost. They need the density of Seattle to be able to provide housing for their employees. We just reached out to REI. REI is looking for to move their corporate office. So I have an email out to REI right now that says, hey, come to North Bend. What can we do to make REI choose to put corporate here? I even argued that we got Issaquah down the road, which is 15 miles away, only 15 miles away, and a great bicycle ride for all of the employees to live in Issaquah if they can't find affordable housing in North Bend. Okay, we're doing those things every single day with every opportunity we can. What we're not doing, though, is when Flying J Truck Stop came to the city and said, hey, I want to expand the truck stop, we actually went to our code that had a potential allowance for it, and the council clarified and said, no, we actually are going to prohibit expansion of trucks unless there's this regional freight mobility plan, which doesn't put North Bend as the only city dealing with trucks. Then we had a bunch of warehousing that wanted to come in right after the streamlined sales tax changed. And when streamlined sales tax changed, all the product that got shipped where it used to get, where it was the origination location, Nintendo, all of a sudden the tax revenue went to the destination. So North Bend got hit hard because our biggest... we were all those Wii's going out the door were helping our general fund. So now we had to say, hey, well, wow, we definitely don't want to be the place where all the warehouse starts, because all the other, Kent, for example, went in, had some major issues, Kent and Tukwila in that area, because all of a sudden they lost that revenue. So we went in and we changed our code to say no warehousing, okay? Meanwhile, we still are getting the warehousing questions, but we're saying those, unfortunately, that does not fit our code, and I can guarantee you that upsets a lot of different people that, and I get it from the other end where I have a warehouse, a person who's marketing or speaking, acting as the broker for the warehouse company, he says, hey, Jenna, how long does the city want those lands to stay vacant? Well, I'm not sure, but right now, the city has chose not to have a warehouse, and that's in our code and our policies. So the answer to your question is yes, we're doing it every day. It's maybe not seen by the public, but it's happening.
Is this marketing team, are they us or are they a professional team?
The marketing team.
As mentioned here in the various.
Yeah, the marketing team is basically your economic development commission.
Okay, so they're highly qualified, but they do it on their own time.
No, no, no. The recruitment and stuff is your staff, or through like the outdoor research example, that was through contacts based on our economic development commission. But they're not actively working for the city going out and marketing. They're acting in the capacity like you guys are as recommending bodies as to, let's kind of go to goal five, because I want you to read goal five, and then let's read a few of the policies behind it, because in the end, the policies are supposed to give your city leadership direction. So if you say, encourage retention and recruitment of living wage jobs, living wage employment, generating business and industry which are aligned with the North Bend's brand and vision. Okay? So then the first goal is to promote tourism-related industries and employers within the employment park and appropriate overlay districts. So what that is, you could say promote or the word recruit, if you'd like the word recruit better, but recruit tourism-related industry. So, for example, if there's a kayak manufacturing company that comes to us and says, I manufacture kayaks, that's like, you're in. We're gonna open, roll out the red carpet. Or if there's a bike manufacturing like that one at Preston, what we're saying is these are our top tier things. So if you're out, what's the bike place at Preston called? Anyway, if you're that company and you read this, you think, wow, I've aligned right with their goals and policies. I'm going to call them up and say, hey, are you interested in having me here? That's how this is supposed to function. Promote employment park development in industry within the EP1 and EP2 zoning districts, which provide living wage jobs while strengthening the North Bend's vision. So if cold storage packing facility comes and it's more of a warehouse than an actual job producing, you know, that wouldn't necessarily fit this goal. But if the manufacturer, like the company's called Young Corporation, they're coming with 100 manufacturing jobs and they build lifts. Oh, no, no, they build big lifts. So they have lots of hydraulics and things. That's Tonkin Replicators.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'd like to recommend that when you say promote tourism, that you say something in addition to that, something along the lines that to promote tourism, the city of North Bend will employ one line item, one staff person, 20 hours a week, something. In other words, create a department of tourism and have that as the objective of promoting tourism. We have the most fantastic recreational area in the entire county down here.
Right.
We should have people employed.
Well, then you say a chamber of commerce?
Well, so.
I mean, employ.
Okay.
The city to go out and promote our town.
Right. So what the city council has done through the economic development office is I have three planners that are working on city planning, of which tourism and tourism growth and brand and marketing is part of that. What we did, because when you look at the general fund, adding a full-time employee is expensive for, you know, the payback. I'm not saying it's, I'd love another employee. If you can convince the council, give me another employee, I'm all in. But what we did is we went out and created the Downtown Foundation. Said, hey, city council, let's open up a visitor information center. Let's include an art gallery in it, and let's have them help the city as the arm of marketing our downtown, our city. The reality is, just like every startup, you got to give a business time to start up. That business has been open since October, and we've gotten the art gallery going. And we've gotten over $15,000 worth of grant money this year. and the city's invested into it over $75,000 when you put the lease in and $48,000 to run the operation. So that visitor information center, in 2 years you watch, will be one of the best in the state. I can guarantee it. But we got to be able to walk through the steps of doing that, you know. So the answer is yes. There's three people employed that, because of that effort to grow tourism in North Bend, plus gave three jobs to North Bend too.
Here's one thing that I see, I think, is what Dick's saying, is that, like, on goal three, there's language, like, there's develop, but, you know, more specifically, construct. That's like an ash. That's like an ash. And if you look at goal five, everything starts with promote. And so it's just not a deliverable. It's more just an idea or kind of something you wish to occur. Which is great, and I totally believe in those things, but yeah, it's not an actual, it's not, it's I, you know, maybe that's where he's coming from, is how does it translate to on-the-ground activity?
So it's a language thing, it's that we need to move that. Essentially the same thing, it's just moved into an active language.
So you want a matrix to say we're actually recruiting business?
That's what we're
recruiting
doing.
Tourists
in this element. In this element. That word. Every policy, every goal here I support. It's just that it doesn't move me to action. And I'm looking in this particular element, action language. And we have to rethink that. I don't think we can create that tonight. I'm saying let's look at this though in terms of talking about how we can measure. We read these things, we have goals and policies. How do we measure the progress of that from the language we have? Because it seems to me we do want to measure if this is effective, and maybe we need to, you know, have a chance to revise this in the next 6 years. We're going to be doing that, but this is what we had for the last 6 years. I think we need to get a little more stimulated by it.
Well, let's do. I like your input there. Like, you'll see goal 5.8. says create incentives in the zoning code for projects that produce a higher number of living wage jobs. And so that's an action item. That's something that's going to be staffed, potentially come back to this group to create. Okay. Promote was used in the realm of it is a free market, so we do our best to promote, but the word recruit might be better. Because a lot of the word promote was used in promote growth of industry, manufacturing, of industrial manufacturing, tourism activities that provide living wage jobs. So what we're trying to say with this is so if you guys have more action-oriented words that you like.
I like that particular one, the circle. What would these incentives be?
Well, that's what.
Oftentimes, we give examples when we say something like this. We kind of round it out by giving two or three examples so the reader understands. Okay, these are the kind of incentives I could look to work with the city on. I have to ask myself while I was reading this. What does the city mean by this? And I don't have any. Do they want you to, will they allow me, like you were saying, tax-free business for the next 3 years? Is that an incentive I could work with the city on? I don't know. So I have to dig deeper to find out what does the city really think about incentives and what do I need to prepare myself for?
Right. So this is an action item to give future, to create an incentive package. Okay. This topic has been actually a very well vetted in the city council, and it is a difficult scenario. The state law doesn't allow what Texas and apparently New York does. It just doesn't. If the state constitution doesn't allow Washington cities, that's why Boeing's always threatening to go. We cannot offer those same tax incentives that some other states can. We have B&O tax, and some cities don't. So you can do that, but that's not where what our cities hit. Our city has wanted business to, right now they have not been interested in removing the big B&O tax. Where there can be incentive language, and the reason why we're saying produce higher number of jobs is legally analyzing a way that addresses if you're a company that comes in and you can prove that you have, let's say, 100 employees, all of which make 50,000 or more. We as the city would go, okay, this is a great living wage job company. Because of that, maybe the city could say, normally you have to pay impact, all kinds of impact fees. Maybe you get, a reduction 10% of impact fees if you provide that living wage job element. The problem with going that deep right now is it really has to be vetted, and the city council is going to have a big role in it, because it ultimately will always come down to the money, because that's what companies would be looking for. So right now the goal, the action item is, hey, let's create incentives for them. Like we did, there's one in there about downtown, and we have two grant programs that allow, like the bakery. We gave the bakery $6,000, a grant, facade assistance grant, to $7,000 actually, to redo the exterior of the building.
I didn't donate money for that.
Yeah.
Would it make sense? First of all, I apologize, and I don't have my own agenda here when I say the following, but I have a hard stop at the quarter after. And I don't want to miss out on the conversation, but at the same time, I'm thinking, it's almost like we've got a lot to think about. We're going off in a direction that is important and probably is in here in concept, but not spelled out the way you're describing it. I think, and it should. There should be some tasking that somebody can look back and say, well, we accomplished this. One of the things that came to my mind is in the planning process of the land use, if we're starting to hear things from people who come to the city and say, I'd like to be here, but I need this and this and this, that's something that we could turn back around and fix if it's land use related. We can't, we can't bring in the Issaquah bus route in Seattle tomorrow. But anyway, so I just want to say that it feels like this is a, not table, but a regroup at another time to really focus in on the pieces of it that we're going to try to measure.
Well, and what I would also say is, to make progress, I'm hearing you, but I need to know what you suggest are fixes. Like the action item was a great suggestion for a fix and an improvement. So maybe you can help me understand exactly what you need in this.
I will more than help you. I'm glad the conversation is being allowed, even, Jenna.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because I think that I feel so strongly about this, I'd be very happy to suggest language.
Great.
And work it through the group. I'm just saying, the fact that you're even listening to the concept, I just think we need to be stronger in our language in this particular element than most.
Okay.
Because this is where the rubber hits the road here in terms of our development. And I think we need to be excited about it. And the language is just, I'm used to seeing it.
And that's great. That's your opinion. I'd love for you to give me some hard.
I'm waiting for these revisions to come through so I have a chance to help.
Yeah.
I just think that we need to be more of a marketer on this element than a bureaucrat. I think we need to be. I think you need to use language that encourages potential businesses and groups into our town when they read this.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to turn my finger to this and just try it and see see what you guys think. I don't promise miracle, but I'm trying to, I'd like to see a different tone than we've seen the other elements. The other elements are very carefully crafted. I think this could be just a little more punchier.
Sounds great.
How should we comment on this?
Well, normally what we do is we kind of, typically it's a little more dialed in on an actual topic. We've been more focused on kind of maybe a general vibe that we want. So this was an introduction of the topic. We're bringing it back next meeting, and you're also going to get capital facilities, which is a big one. It's a big one. Or, you know, it's a... Well, the way actually that a lot of cities are writing them now, because they're pretty redundant, our city administrator is wanting us to do it more that on that approach. So we'll see how you like, what you think when you see it. But back to your question. I actually think if you have a real desire beyond just the discussion at the meeting, like Dick seems, you know, feels like he wants to maybe really get in and put some draft language in here, you can do it via track changes and send me comments.
Yeah, yes, I don't have this electronically. Maybe I can get the email list. They gave me an
email. You got an email yet?
They gave me the email, but there's nothing in it.
Oh. Oh, yeah, I know.
So
Lynn had a, sorry about Lynn. She felt bad. Yeah, she felt bad. Well, we'll get you a, there was a mistake. Usually the packets go out on Friday and Lynn forgot to hit
send. Yeah, I got that from mail.
Okay. So we'll get you a electronic copy. And if you want to handwrite or however, what's ever easiest for you, because I know you actually like to make notes more. If you want to do that and bring it by my office, and then what we could do is between, if you guys could do that.
Tell him bring if your dog is with you.
He's with me all the time. He kind of, I just pack him around.
I see you walking him slowly across the road.
It's very gracious of you, and I'd be happy to.
Okay, so you know what would be helpful? So our next planning commission is, believe this or not, because so to get packets out to you, we actually have to get packets out by next Friday. So it would be great if I could get your comments by next Tuesday. If you have specific comments, and if you other planning commissioners don't, what we could do is take their comments. Okay. Or just, you guys just send me comments and we'll get them in, and somehow we'll make sure all your comments are in there and create a document that shows that.
Mine's an in realm of type A, sentence doesn't make sense. I know what you're going for. But
okay, where? Tell me. I know there's lots of...
It's this not having page numbers, so it's after the downtown commercial where you're talking about 19 properties, so that's the last page.
Oh, okay, it's in the beginning.
Like six. 19 properties contribute to the North Bend Historic Commission District located, blah, blah, blah. But many have performed renovations and which received incentives and grant monies for some of the improvements made. So I know what you're getting at there, but the sentence makes no sense the way it's put together.
All right.
So many have performed renovations, comma, and which received incentives and grant monies for some of the improvements made to the building and or local facade design.
Okay.
It's
yeah.
Right under the insert photo.
Yeah, I see it now. I'll rework it.
It has kind of a chalkboard effect on me.
Yeah.
I was reading through it the first time. But it's one of those sentences that happen. It's in your head. It just doesn't get on paper quite the way you mean it.
There wasn't, for me, there wasn't that many. There wasn't much that I ouch to. I went ouch on this one word. Right under the bold heading of economic transition and the economy.
Yeah.
Where that is.
Yeah.
The second paragraph where it says relied upon its once abundance, it's very abundant now, it's just not being used.
All right, that was language that had been there for years. I don't know where it came from.
That's evidence of being at least 6 years old.
Has relied upon its abundant natural resource.
Yeah,
yep.
I mean, that's
good.
And that fits with the whole idea of wonderful,
and beautiful. And they won't recreate, they still recreate. The last sentence, that same paragraph, centers and recreate in the very accessible.
Is that legal? To recreate?
So are there any other comments?
You see, it has 10.
We'll be at a police plaza this weekend. Two couples are recreating in the park.
A visitor shop. Rachel said it's recreating for accessory.
Any other comments?
I was just wondering, well, I had not heard about under the physical truck. Now we've talked about it a little bit, but I just hadn't heard about relocating the truck stop. So I didn't know if there was any more information exactly that in there.
Where are you now?
On the east north bend of Tanner.
Oh, okay.
Opportunity area, so. You know, when I read it, like the city's vision for this area in the future is to grow the neighborhood, scale commercial uses, retail, restaurant, hotel. So I can kind of picture that it would be with the whole truck town gone. But I could picture driving towards the Middle Fork Road and maybe some newer hotels and some businesses, maybe like a North Bend Bar and Grill kind of place. So that kind of stuff. But, you know, I don't know if that's just something that's a dream.
No, oh, that was actually, so did you envision that yourself or did you get that from that sentence?
I got that from, yeah, the second to last kind of, I guess it's one
yeah.
sentence. And then the final sentence, it just ends there. It just says the plan to work with state and regional players to relocate the truck stop. But I mean, is there any even sort of timeline, or is it could be 5 years, it could be 50?
That will be a decision that's a tough one. The reality is, right now, the region. See you, Jim. The short answer of it is there has been a desire to. Right now, everything you see out there is what they call legal nonconforming. So as long as they don't, you know, redevelop, they get to continue operating. Unless the city chooses to amortize a legal nonconforming situation where you can amortize it gone, basically. And it's a analysis. It's really kind of complicated to do because you have to give the time to amortize them out, has to give them time to realize their investment. So let's say somebody puts in a fence and this fence costs $10,000 and the city says, well, those kind of fences are no longer allowed in the city. We want it gone in 10 years. That's how it's kind of, for a simplistic way to look at it. So one thing that North Bend has done that's really actually played a big part in this is when we said no more truck stops in North Bend and we started ticketing and not allowing trucks to park on our roads, what's happened is all those trucks now are going out to the freeway and parking, which is really dangerous and actually not, you know, it's not good for the truckers. But by having them on the freeway, now all of a sudden it's not a North Bend problem. It's a state highway problem. It's a Snoqualmie problem. It's a King County problem. So now there's more people wanting to solve the problem than when North Bend was the sole receiver. So this is kind of left as, hey, this is where we are, period. How that happens and how fast that happens, it's such a big topic because the Mountains of Sound Greenway, you know, the whole goal is not to continue to develop the green corridor, you know, and the trucking industry wants, you know, would love to go at the intersection of Highway 18 and in the Raging River Basin. And, of course, that's not, you know, down on the south end. So finding a location for that is really going to be a challenging thing. You know, of course, Snoqualmie has some space along the freeway.
They want to get rid of that.
But they don't want it. We don't want it. The county doesn't want to take ownership for it. The state just wants them off the highway. So it's really a tough, probably the toughest land use topic.
Should get rid of railroads.
Yeah. So I left it pretty vague because I think it's really going to be vetted pretty.
It's good that it's
Janet, just like the North Fork Gateway, or the Middle Fork Gateway,
yeah.
It seems like we need to have stronger language with the Rattlesnake Gateway.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yeah.
Anybody who knows Rattlesnake, where do all those cars go to come back off that lake? They go back on I-90, but there needs to be opportunities for overnights and food.
True,
we lose them.
They don't come back off the road.
So
that,
well,
yeah, that whole exit 31,
right.
You know, both sides of it are probably some of the highest recreational areas of use in, you know, East King County. And I feel like we miss out on a lot of it, which was the cool thing with, for example, Compass starting to do some shuttling. You know, hopefully that's going to draw in some people. But, you know, how do we promote that more?
Well, I was just going to say, one of the things that I kind of missed, I made a note on here, is that gateways come up in this document.
Mm-hmm.
The word gateway is used a lot. And I don't think that we have we've kind of talked about it in passing previously. We don't really have a defined gateway plan where we're protecting those gateways into the community and coming up with an explicit idea of how are we going to control those and make sure that we maintain the feel regardless of how you come into town,
mm-hmm.
and then connecting those different areas
now
together.
Yeah, now that's actually that you just nailed what your next planning commission effort will be. So I don't know if you recall, but in the land use chapter, you guys said you have a policy that says create a gateway plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking to Gary about once we're done with these two, three remaining chapters, your Planning Commission's work plan. And my suggestion was that you guys take on creating the gateway plan and defining, because Gary was, you know, if you recall in that conversation, Gary asked, well, what do we consider a gateway? Because you have gateways to the city, but then you also have gateways to portions of the city. Like once you're in the city, meaning you get off at exit 31, you're in North Bend. But then when you come across the river, that's a totally different gateway to your downtown. And how do you, you know, I think in the end you're going to have a gateway plan that's tiered.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have a gateway from the recreation. So if you come into town on the Snoqualmie Valley Trail as a hiker or a biker,
mm-hmm.
you've just now entered this town. Now, is it reflective? Do we reflect what we want people to see? Like one place that really I feel needs to be improved and King County needs to be part of it is when you're coming down the Iron Horse Trail into North Bend and you get to Tanner Road and that when, so in the, there's an overlay, this is kind of more information in here, but there's an overlay here that requires, if this is to develop, we put in a requirement for a road connection, a driveway, so there'd be a road here and a road here, or potentially trying to, you know, like the best solution here is a roundabout, and to keep it safe, right?
Too many trucks. The trucks negotiate those roundabouts.
Well, they can, but our trucks are big, yeah. Yeah. So anyway,
crosswalk.
Yeah. So this is the gateway I'm talking about. If you're on the trail,
yeah.
I can't believe King County has a King County Trail that never had it, because it was that way when the city took over North Bend Way down there.
Mm-hmm.
But they just dump people out on the North Bend Way without a crossing.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by gateway. So right. I think in the end what you guys are doing, that will be a great effort that we get to go through and a fun one, because that will be actually...
I think the Greenway could build a hiker overpass like we have wildlife overpass.
Yeah, that would be safe.
Yeah.
Expensive, but safe. But
again, it connects into this because the gateway concept comes up in this. So it's how... In my mind, I was thinking, how do we maintain a coherent whole between what we're saying here and what here? so that we're not contradictory, you know, that we're not doing something with gateways that then contradicts against the idea of developing the city from an economic standpoint. You know, if we put all of it into making it pretty for hikers, what about these businesses that we're trying to encourage? So it's kind of a balancing act of...
Well, great business, of course, are good roads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And intersections that are appropriate for whatever they're driving. It's only what? We're getting kind of narrow roaded right now. There's some of these big trucks that can't even make the turn.
One of them got stuck.
Yeah.
Out the Edgewick, I think it was.
Yeah, I saw that the other day. Under the tourism, two questions.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, it would make sense to me, that, you know, these things that are listed are within 5 miles
mm-hmm.
of the area, or of downtown North Bend. Yet the first sentence, you know, alludes to these other areas, which kind of go without a specific name, you know, Pine Lakes Wilderness Area, Mount Baker, Snoqualmie National Forest.
Right.
Somebody like me, I see Alpine Lake, you know, Wilderness Area or National Forest, and that's a huge attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we're talking about gateways to the city is also, like this says, a gateway to there.
Yeah, great.
You know, and I think naming those specifically by name could be a nice, making it a little bit more colorful. I mean, it's name dropping, but hey, they're ours.
And, well, in my mind, too, it distinguishes us in some way from Snoqualmie because they have wonderful trail systems up there on the ridge for that business park.
Mm-hmm.
Our difference is we're the gateway to, exactly,
right.
to true wilderness.
Right. Yeah.
See, and that one also, if you realize in there, we talk about a tourism growth plan.
That's what was
and that
question.
Would be a, what was that? What would,
have we created that?
No. See, that's like the gateway plan. I mean,
it's an action plan right there. Words.
Yeah, and I don't actually think I messed up by not following up in a policy with it. Because what I thought would be really... A gateway, I mean, a tourism development plan to me is it could be really creating place is what you want to do. You want people to, when they arrive in North Bend, they feel like they've arrived at a special place, right? So, for example, out at exit 34 has a lot of potential even in its existing state, let alone through redevelopment. And part of that would be as simple as requiring a truck movement that's a one-way movement. So trucks come in off North Bend Way, off the freeway at exit 34, and there's an actual median, greenify the road, because right out, it looks pretty industrial. And when you think about our tourism, exit 34 is almost going to be one of the most important exits for the Middle Fork Road and what have you. So it would be a shame to get off the freeway to go experience the Middle Fork and drive through what feels like a little bit more of a Aurora feel, you know, in that two block radius where you have trucks doing this and that. So I see a tourism development plan including that kind of streetscape improvement that says, hey, if we want to attract tourists to the Middle Fork, they, you know, we want it to be attractive when they get here and then they stop and maybe there's a brew pub on the corner versus a truck. You know, I mean, that's where we can promote our idea of what we really want to see. And then that, of course, we can start going after grants to do what have you. But I see exit 34 as a big opportunity. Just based on.
What about an elevated road system in that area?
In what capacity?
For the tourists to get them off of the commercial.
You mean.
Streets.
And when you say elevated, you're talking about a.
Overhead road.
Well.
Get it above the truck traffic, bring it in at a grade, come off by 90 where they don't even come into exit 34. They get off earlier.
Well, that might be an idea. It would be expensive.
Of course.
Yeah. But that's why these plans are great, to vet all the options and then put numbers to them and decide, you know, what the final plan is for that streetscape.
Towards Isquam Islands. If you couldn't move truck down, I guess you could go there, but it's like moving that would be like more ideal.
A lot of that, like the, you know, a lot of that would. I mean, we'll never be as dense as that part of Isqua, and there was a lot of impact fees and things that Swedish Hospital, for example, was the driver behind that. But yeah, anything's, you know, the sky's the limit when you start brainstorming and then dialing it in on the actual.
Well, it seems like we have a very powerful ally in the Greenway. The Middle Fork has been is a major piece of land that's they're almost directly responsible for creating.
Yeah.
And we certainly have the representation power back in D.C. to fund the road system now. That's going to match up with the new road.
Right. Yeah.
And the trucks would be happier. I'm always thinking about the working people, too. They have to somehow navigate around all these lost tourists trying to find the Middle Fork Road, and it's a mess for them to deal with that. They can talk to each other in cabs. They know where they're all going, but no one knows where the cars are going.
Mm-hmm.
And there needs to be better communication on the road, even coming down the hill in the truck town, before they get there. What's open? What's closed? What exit do I take? You know, if I miss 34, can I come back, you know, from 32? And, you know, this is the kind of stuff. So it makes it truck friendly up there. I don't know why we're fighting those guys. We have to find a way to make it easier for them. It's a big business.
Oh, I know.
Big business. It's not an ugly business. It's just big.
But the challenge with trucks for any community is the business revenue doesn't go back in the city, but the impacts of the business are in the city, meaning the trucks on the roadways are very, you know, difficult on roads. And so in the end, you know, what we're trying to figure out is.
But I wonder if there's not a rippling effect that North Bend is closed for business, because those truckers don't just talk trucks. They also talk to the people they work for, and they talk about how unfriendly North Bend is, or how almost hostile they are to truckers. And that gets around. I'm wondering if it does get around to the business sectors that North Bend is not a friendly place to locate.
I don't think so. I think actually the city, I think there's a lot more in the realm of just, first of all, there was no sewer in 2000 until 2009, and from 9 to about 11, people were just getting back on their feet. So there wasn't really any big loans being approved for businesses to grow. And I mean, from 2007 to 2011, there was really a pullback of expansion. And so now, from 11 to 16, I think I really think in the next 2 or 3 years, you're going to see some growth happen there. The question will be, is it ideal? Like, I still think there's a great opportunity for kind of a outdoor recreation hub where, you know, I mean, you have so many opportunities, even if it was like some of those, I'm surprised there isn't, you know, I don't know if you guys are into soccer or anything, but there's Starfire, that, which is a big facility, or that Preston facility that's basically, there's so much money in those just for rental space of fields and things. I'm surprised even there, that hasn't come about out there. But, sometimes it's also, you know, the property owners have, I know those property owners were marketing pretty heavily to the trucking facilities. So
there's no place they can go. They're required to park. You can't drive after a certain number of hours unless they have a co-driver. They've got to stop.
Yeah, 10 hours.
They can't go anywhere. They're in violation.
Yeah.
So where do we get them to? Where are you getting to?
That's the question. The whole region's.
Maybe you do. Maybe in a creative way, the truck business have a pool of drivers that take over a truck. Or driver can get out, get sleep, and he picks up the next available truck. Maybe they just don't take their truck to an end destination. That might be the way it's coming. Or they just transfer the drivership over to it. Another guy.
It's an industry that hasn't evolved.
Yeah, but it's just, we're making it impossible for them to drive safely because we don't give them a place to stop. They have to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And that worries me.
Yeah. So on the yeah, I guess what I would say is the easiest thing for me is if you have comments or even ideas, but you haven't put them into like a, you know, send them to me and say, hey, I'd really like to see some language about this. And what we'll do is our best to...
There's a statement in here that...
Create it.
I think is so contrary that I don't understand why it was even written. But under the paragraph heading Southport Interchange of Plumbing Zone, but on the back page...
Yeah.
On the very top, the second paragraph, short paragraph, we talk about... the Nintendo site, and we talked about the vacant 110 acres that's undeveloped, but it's in a floodplain, but its location is so desirable, blah, blah, blah. Why are we even talking about developing a floodplain?
It's not a floodway.
Well, our entire city is basically in a floodplain, and you can develop in a floodplain, you just got to meet certain policies. You cannot develop in a floodway.
Well, it's as much as land constrained by a floodplain.
Yes, that is correct.
But its location that makes it desirable.
But its location adjacent to exit 31 in downtown makes it ideal for development of employee.
We have hotels dead in the water because it's trying to build in the floodplain. It's not going anywhere.
It's not dead in the water because of that. It's not dead in the water.
There's no action on it. It's sitting there.
The hotel site is. The hotel site is actively going. They've lost an engineer to a death. They have a clearing grading permit that they're working on, and they're getting their full engineering plans in. It's not dead in the water.
But there talks about all the citations they've had.
Who talks about their citations?
Either in here or somewhere else. Someone reported that they have, they've had.
Just like every development that we oversee, meaning the city. They have plans on the ground, and they have contractors putting it in. If they put it in wrong, they get it ripped out, and they get told. So,
they have a tremendous hurdle to get over in terms of the groundwater situation there. It makes it almost impossible to find other builders to come to that area, knowing the problem. And we have 110 acres that have the same kind of shallow water table. That's going to require extreme construction processes that keep it from impacting the waterway. Is it really practical to think we can find builders who will want to come out there and work? Is it really?
Well, here's the thing. It's there, but anyone who's coming into it from the perspective of a business that wants to make money is going to weigh the cost versus what they can get out of it. And if the cost is too expensive, and increasingly the requirements to build a floodproof commercial structure get more complicated and costly, unless you can self-insure, will it be practical for anyone ever to develop it? Probably not. But it could happen, because it is within the zone that allows it, and it is in an area that still allows construction, because it's not a floodway. So it's similar to many other things. We can't tell someone to build or not build there. They just have to build according to the rules. And if it doesn't pencil out, they're not going to do it. and it may stay vacant.
And if we don't advertise it here, they won't know about it, possibly. And then we miss an opportunity.
I think anyone knows that that property is there because the people that own it have off and on actively marketed it. I think, in fact, wasn't it up? They were doing an auction.
Well, there's
two
properties.
That was the 27-acre one that they were auctioning.
The reason the property next to Nintendo is not built is Nintendo owns it, and they haven't wanted. They've been holding on to it for expansion. They're just not ready to sell it. The auction property is actually off 8th Street, and it was zoned through a development agreement for 150 townhomes. That development agreement is still active for another year, but and it went to auction, and I know there was somebody looking at it, and they passed on it. So I don't know at this point. The cost to build out there is where that auction property is expensive because there's no sewer, so they have to bring sewer over there. See, and that, so this end of town hasn't developed because of sewer. Mm-hmm. That end of town now has sewer and now is starting to roll. For a town of, the other thing, you know, that is maybe not as obvious is, for a town of 6,000 people, we have so much commercial land. And we are actually have, and because of our history being the old I-90, you know, whether it's the Napa area, or there's just a lot of underperforming commercial. And we don't have the population to support a lot more of growth. So what our approach has been is to like in some of this, we talk about downtown revitalization. Well, downtown revitalization will be getting more people living in downtown, walking to the businesses and shops. That creates a market for more. You guys have rezoned a lot of the, like the Tanner. I'm pointing at the map because you had it far here. Like this whole area used to be zoned just employment park. Well, that's going to be a tough spot to market employment park. So what we did, and it's next to the Tanner Landing Park and everything. So what we did is we left that zoning there, took out warehousing as an allowed use, but also allowed a lot more other uses, including townhomes, senior living, and we said to this developer property owner, look, we'll upzone you, but you got to do something in exchange. So this whole area over here to that little squiggle, he agreed to dedicate as a 2.5-acre park, which brings the river out to the street. That was our goal. So that would become a park. This squiggle line is a road that is negotiated. It's all in your code now, and it was actually this commission did it. This would be a road that connects to the Tanner Park, but by getting people living here, all of a sudden this neighborhood business, boom, all of a sudden there's a need for a coffee shop. And that's where North Bend, you know, when you're looking 20 years down the road, the plans and policies we have, I actually think are really good. We're not quite there yet, but do we, you know, that's okay. I mean, that's what growth, the beauty of short, small, sizable growth steps allows is smart movements versus massive change all at once. So that's one thing I think North Bend's been blessed with, is the ability to kind of grow at a pace that's
gives you time to stop and think about what you are you really.
Yeah, because politics and government governance doesn't work as fast as, man, if it's a hot market, all of a sudden investment is just booming. And, you know.
Well, and you said something important earlier when you were talking about one of the businesses that had been approached, which is that they needed the affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we don't have enough to mix that yet, but a lot of what we have laid the groundwork for is going to allow that to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's there, you're going to be able to attract businesses that might not otherwise have come.
Right. Like, you know, one thing we did in downtown was we said, hey, we want people living downtown. So we actually created a code that really promoted second-story residential. So the explosion site now is going to be redeveloped. We're expecting the application at any time. So if it doesn't come in, sorry. But it's going to be a 5,000 square foot ground floor retail restaurant space. So I think it's going to be a restaurant in the end. With 32 condo on top, 32 units. And then what we've done with that developer and Les Schwab is actually, I'll go back.
I don't know if you can picture the back of Les Schwab, but
sure.
Hey, they have, so let me orient this where's the explosion site? That's the explosion site. So right now, if I drew a line on this map, that would be this weird Les Schwab. The explosion site is this rectangle right here. Les Schwab is going to dedicate to the city. We're doing a lot line adjustment to pick up all that space as the park. And then with this redevelopment, we told them basically that, you know, we could be flexible in potentially doing a shared parking agreement with them. And we would do the SEPA, the State Environmental Policy Process, and the site plan process. In lieu of us taking on the lead role in that, they would give us an entrance, a public entrance into the park, so we can bring tourists down on the North Bend Way.
Aren't you ever using that for parking right now along the fence there, Jenna?
Yeah. But not. And it's really, we have a lot of police activity back there.
Yeah.
And so what we're trying to do is, like, so we talked about this guy, with this guy about creating a, as you come into his new development, that if there's a restaurant there, creating kind of a really nice plaza space, maybe where the restaurant could spill onto the plaza and it could also act as the entrance to Torgerson. So there's a lot on the cusp happening, and I actually think the plans and policies we have do a great job. Like, we have great design standards for for the architectural aspect. That's why we got a signature Bartels versus the box Bartels. The hotel is crying about our design standards because they don't want to put real balconies on, and our code requires real balconies. So if you see, like, the version of the Marriott Fairfield that will be built in North Bend versus what's built in Burlington, it's night and day, higher quality. So now when we look at this, like, I think about our missing links on what we need to do to create solidify all those great plans, and it's stuff like the Gateway plan. Because the gateways do kind of look a little under-assuming when you come into town in certain locations. And, you know, I'd love to see a tourism development plan so we don't have the Middle Fork develop in this wonderful way and then have everybody come through North Bend and think, you know, a truck stop is what North Bend is. So we have, you know, and somehow get them to come downtown, or, like you said, have hotels and restaurants on that road versus mm-hmm. gas stations.
Is there anything that, I guess it's, I don't know, there's a lot of players, I'm sure, involved in the revitalization of that area and the paving that's happening. So is there any plans and actually having some signs or something directing? So I remember the first time I ever went down the Middle Fork Road, I was like, where is that again? Mm-hmm. You know, it's right on this hairpin turn that you have.
That's kind of weird.
You know, so it's, I don't know, hopefully it's in it. But as they're paving the road and they say, okay, we're done, you know, we've got this place spruced up, you know. But so I would assume that maybe Mount Sisson might have that in their plans. I don't know, obviously.
Yeah, whose responsibility is it to sign it?
It seems like that would be part of the planning is to guide, not just have the sign right when you get on the road. I mean, you have to have some. The traffic's coming from I-90.
But, well, to be able to have our foot in there of when those signs go up, let's remind them that there's a town on I mean, I see people turn around on 202 all the time coming through Snoqualmie. They get into that area where it's going and going and going.
Yeah.
And every once in a while they try and do a U-ey right in the middle of the road because they don't know where it's going. And that's another one of the gateways, that what's at the end of this long road.
You know, so I actually added under policy or goal 4, which talks about tourism, a 4.9 policy that says, I think that's a great suggestion, Scott, and grow or expand the North Bend Wayfinding Sign Program. Because what's interesting is the city actually has those wayfinding signs that are similar to Snoqualmie's. But a truck took out the one we had at Truck Town. But that was also when we put it in when it wasn't part of the city. We just put it in King County. And it said North Bend, and it pointed down North Bend Way. But what needs to go up is a wayfinding that says North downtown North Bend that way, Middle Fork Recreation right. This way. Yeah. So
and historic downtown North Bend.
Historic downtown, yeah.
I think that grabs some people who think mm-hmm. oh, cool buildings.
Yeah. So I think that's a good one. And then, you know, Elizabeth, if you see, there's one that says ED 4.3, says expand and develop a design plan and maintenance program for each of the city's gateway that provides a strong, welcoming, and feeling place.
And that's where I started feeling gateways when I started going.
Yeah.
It's just consistency. We're talking about them, making sure that it's all
yeah.
consistent and that we're not meeting different things.
Yeah. So. Okay, well, if you guys want to email me your thoughts and comments before Tuesday, what we'll do is turn around and before Friday stick them into the document to recirculate the document out to everybody.
One simple request. Can we put page numbers on
there? Yeah, I did. That was my mistake. I don't know why.
Quickly identify where we are.
Yeah, no, I sorry about that. I agree wholeheartedly.
Any other comments? Gary likes to say it, but a bit of a more topics. We are adjourned.
All right. 10 to 9. Or, yeah, 10 to 9.